Hello. Oh, it feels good. It feels good to talk into this microphone again, even if it's for a very awkward reason, which is to say that the stuff you've probably seen about me on Twitter, and what a dangerous beginning to a sentence this is, but that stuff is true. I'm going to be moving on from ESPN Daily, and find me at Pablo Torre. I will explain there what I'm up to. And spoiler alert, I will ask you to subscribe to a newsletter because of course. But I will also be formally saying goodbye on one more episode before I go. Until then and otherwise, what you're going to get on this program is a bunch of new and different voices in the host chair, people who can steer the premier home for audio storytelling in sports. And it's going to be people like the guy in today's chair. Today's episode is going to be hosted by our friend and longtime ESPN writer, Dave Fleming. So, enjoy.
Right now, we're a team, and we're building a team. I want more than that. I want to be more than a team. I want to be something to behold. It's something you got to prepare for. Really sit down and prepare for. I don't want just a football team.
Adam Rittenberg. That was the voice of Deion Sanders, the new coach at the University of Colorado, who you recently profiled with a terrific story that chronicles and explores Coach Prime's massive influence. Deion has been everywhere, especially this week at the opening of spring ball. But tell us what happened when Coach Prime was in Phoenix for the Super Bowl.
Right. So he was there all week, but obviously at the NFL Honors Awards show, he was presenting the Coach of the Year award to Brian Daboll, the New York Giants. And he's up on stage in Colorado colors, as he often is now.
I've been a coach for a few years now. And at this point, I think I can say with some type of authority, it's hard, period. You got to motivate your players, outsmart your opponents, and then interact with a bunch of Gen Z dudes every single day.
And presents Coach Daboll the award. And as they're walking off the stage, according to Deion, he says they're barely off the stage. And Coach Daboll says to him, "I got a dog for you." And he actually got Brian Daboll on the phone with the guy who kind of heads up his recruiting there at Colorado. And Coach Sanders was telling me that shows him how much noise they're really making when in that moment when he's presenting this award for a great job, first year coach of the Giants, he's thinking about somebody who could come play for Deion Sanders. And so that certainly struck him that people are coming to him with players, even an NFL head coach coming off of a great season like Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I mean, help explain to people who might not know, oh my God, what that means as far as like Colorado suddenly now being on the national stage.
Right. Well, NFL coaches weren't coming to Colorado with players before Deion Sanders was the head coach. And that's just the influence that he has in the pro circles as a Hall of Famer at that level. Very, very connected. I think it just goes along with the momentum that they've created here in the first, 3+ months that Deion has been on the job. They've brought in what many believe is the highest rated transfer class in the country. They brought in a recruiting class with only a few weeks really to put that together that ranked in ESPN's top 25 nationally. And so again, these things were not happening before Deion Sanders was there. And so he'll ultimately be judged, as all coaches are, by wins and losses. But what he's been able to do without coaching a game, without barely coaching a practice, as you mentioned, just started spring ball this week, is notable. And this is why they hired him. Deion was telling me they are making a lot of noise and everybody's talking about Colorado.
So you were in the Buffalo's facilities, right, Adam? And I'm wondering what it all looks like. But of course, in my own mind, I'm picturing midriff practice jerseys hanging from the ceiling, framed photos of a jerry-curled Deion Sanders with those wraparound shades all over the place. And of course, must be the money on a constant loop, maybe in the hallways and in the offices, everywhere. But you were there. Describe it for me.
I didn't interview him in his office. Apparently, you have to take off your shoes with the white carpet and all that. So I interviewed him in the adjacent recruiting lounge. I'm trying to think of pictures that I've seen if that one is up there. I know the cologne one. I don't need cologne because I smell like confidence. I know that's one that the Colorado chancellor told me was his favorite. So I obviously they look good, feel good, you play good, they pay good. That's up there. But I would have to double check on the must be the money. We obviously remember that, the song and all that.
Okay, first of all, everybody remembers that song, right? Must be the money. But there is a unique energy that is around Deion Sanders, right? I refer to it as the primetime vortex. This thing that just kind of sweeps everything and everybody and everyone around up into his orbit. And it sounds like he literally is everywhere, at every place, and everything all the time in Boulder these days. But that's the strategy, right? It's intentional. That's the brilliance of Coach Prime.
Sure. And what I think what's so interesting about it, Dave, is that, you know, and I talked to Deion about this, you know, he didn't grow up with social media. I didn't grow up with social media either. And he has taken to it in a way that's incredibly natural. I asked him, aren't you tired of being on camera so much? Or are you tired of creating all this content? And for him, he doesn't look at it that way. You know, no matter where he'd be, whether he was still at Jackson State or a different program or now at Colorado, this is the way he would be proceeding with how visible he is and everything he does outside of simply coaching his team. None of these players were alive when he was at his professional peak as an athlete, but their parents remember him. They recognize what he did early in his coaching career, and certainly his approach to celebrity and or just being a celebrity rather, and then his overall approach to social media is something that's resonating with a different generation, one that he was not a part of but has figured out how to connect with.
When Deion Sanders started to make noise about wanting to man the sidelines for a big time college football program, it was easy to be skeptical. But with Coach Prime turning Jackson State into a winner and then moving his show to the University of Colorado, now we're all waiting to see what'll happen next. So today, with spring practice getting underway, Adam Rittenberg joins the show to tell us what it'll take for Prime Time to lead a renaissance in Boulder. I'm David Fleming. It's Thursday, March 23rd. This is ESPN Daily.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, Adam, before we continue with the grand arrival of Deion Sanders in Colorado, I think the first thing we have to do is talk about where this team has been the last few years. It's pretty ugly.
Yeah, it's really ugly. And I mean, there's certainly, I think the team hit rock bottom last year. You're going 1-11, really being bad at everything. There wasn't anything that Colorado did particularly well in the 2022 season. Fired Coach Carl Durrell in early October. They didn't really want to make that change. But then you go back, and other than the 2016 season, when Colorado won the Pac-12 South under Mike McIntyre, played for a Pac-12 championship. And even in 2020, which was a shortened season in the Pac-12, they went 4-2, I believe, under Carl Durrell, played in the Alamo Bowl. It's been really rough there for about 20 years, you know, since the end of the Gary Barnett era. You know, those of us who remember the late 80s and early 90s under Bill McCartney, and that continued for a bit under Rick Neuheisel and Gary Barnett, you know, Colorado is a program of relevance in college football. And when you've been that down for that long, you know, not only are you bad, but you become irrelevant. And so what Deion Sanders has done by hiring him, at the very least, you've become relevant. And he feels an absolute need at Colorado that goes beyond just making it a better football team.
So when we look at the school's history on the gridiron, they were a relevant program, as you described, Adam, but almost foreshadowing Deion's impact culturally, the Buffaloes also had an outsized impact on American culture in the early 90s, right? That in a way that kind of mirrored Deion's.
No doubt. And it's funny that the timing really matched up with that. You know, when I was sitting there with Darian Hagan, again, the quarterback for the 1990 national title team, he says, I got to find something. You know, he kind of looks through his desk. He couldn't find what he was looking for. But then he ended up pulling up a picture on Google of Ice Cube wearing a Colorado hat. And he said, for me, who grew up in South Central L.A., to see this, this was the moment that I realized we'd arrived as a program. That we were not just winning, but we were making an impact on culture, on celebrities. And that was definitely the case for a short time period with how Colorado played, who they recruited. You know, Bill McCartney, who was the coach at the time, spent a lot of time recruiting your urban areas, whether it was LA or Houston or New Orleans. And they became kind of an iconic college team for that period of time that transcended just winning games. Hagan told me that there's similarities just in terms of the sort of rock star status from Bill McCartney to Deion Sanders, and who will be at the games, who will be commenting, and who will be posting on social media about Colorado football. It won't just be Brian Daboll. It'll be Lil Wayne. It'll be Deion's other celebrity friends. It'll be people that maybe don't have a connection to Colorado but are excited. I was talking with Rick George, the athletic director. He said Mark McGuire reached out to him. Lance Armstrong reached out to him. Jerry Kelly, who is a PGA golfer, reached out to him. So people are interested in what Deion Sanders is doing. And so if they do have success, there's a chance that Colorado once again captures the cultural impact that it had in the late 80s and early 90s, which is something that I did not think was possible again.
You could now argue, though, that Colorado being this god-awful was actually kind of a blessing in disguise, because it created this desperation that removed them from the typical college football status quo, gotta do the same thing everybody else is doing, that then put the notion of someone like Deion Sanders straight on the table for them. And while that has brought back this great potential for relevance in Boulder, there's a lot at risk here.
Right. Yeah. And again, I think the risk level is different depending on who you are. But let's face it, Deion Sanders had never been a college coach before Jackson State. No one had hired him at the Power Five level. He is somebody who you have to accept right away that he's going to be the face of the program, that it all revolves around him and his celebrity. And while there's certainly some understandable questions about what Deion Sanders can do at this level in terms of coaching in the Pac-12, which is an improving conference, they saw way more potential and upside to this hire than drawbacks. And so that's what's going to be so intriguing here, is that there are people of our age that remember the history, and that Deion told me he researched. He's very close with Cordell Stewart.
Cordell, of course, started quarterback at Colorado in the early 90s before starring as a QB / part-time athlete with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, Cordell Stewart, I talked to for the story. Cordell knows Deion and his family very well. He talked to Cordell before accepting the job. Cordell didn't think he'd take it, but when he did, he said, Cordell told me, I went to sleep. I knew we were good at that point.
And I got to tell you, so far, right, the folks at Colorado look like freaking geniuses. I mean, the numbers and the influence and the impact immediately, it's been off the charts.
Right. Yeah, it has in a number of different areas. You can certainly look at season tickets, and they're up 97% renewal, which is by far the best in team history. All their luxury suites are sold out. I was asking the woman who sort of oversees ticket sales, what are you going to do with all of Deion's celebrity friends? They got to maybe keep one or two of those suites open so you can have that celebrity bump that he's going to bring that he already has brought. They're selling tickets for the first time for the spring game, which ESPN will televise. It's the only spring game that's going to be on ESPN. And they haven't sold tickets for that game since the 1970s. They're expecting well over 30,000 people to be there. And people in Colorado that work there would not have believed this type of impact that he's had in such a short period of time.
All of these bumps you're talking about, which are incredible, I feel like it all started to go viral with literally Deion's first meeting at Colorado. And you mentioned it in your story. Take us inside that meeting and kind of Deion's unique approach and how that some people love it, some people hate it.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, right after he was hired back in December, he met with the team, was very direct about how they had embarrassed the school and their families and everyone around Colorado for a long period of time, and how he was coming. I'm coming. That was the main theme of the meeting that he repeated throughout. And that things were going to change.
It ain't going to be no more of the mess that these wonderful fans, the student body, and some of your parents have put up with for probably 2 decades now. I'm coming. And when I get him, it's going to be change.
And was very direct about, you know, number of you guys will not be in your roles next year. If you want to hop in that transfer portal, go right ahead.
So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in that portal and do whatever you're going to get. Because the more you jump in, the more room you make.
I'm bringing in new players. He talked about bringing in his Louis Vuitton luggage. His son, Shador, who is the quarterback at Jackson State, was with him. Points to Shador, that's your quarterback.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis. Quarterback is coming. Yep, about 10 more I'm coming. And they dogs. And they're going to hunt and they're going to eat. Anything else?
This is a very direct message given, and not just given in that room. This was televised, or this was on video and shared socially so everybody could see what was going on in that room. And you know, I spoke to Darian Hagan, who was the quarterback on Colorado's national championship team in 1990. He's been part of the staff in various roles since 2005. And he was an assistant coach last year for Carl Durrell and Mike Sanford, the two coaches. He said that, you know, listen, other coaches, because he's seen a number of them come in, new coaches at Colorado, have delivered similar messages. The difference this time was Deion Sanders is the one delivering it. And that made it more powerful. But I was very curious in the reporting process, you know, to ask Rick George, the athletic director, about that, to ask Phil DeStefano, the chancellor, about that. He's basically telling your athletes who have, you know, at least done their best or tried to do their best and are on scholarship to leave. That's a tough message to be delivering, especially in a public setting, because it wasn't a closed door meeting. And, you know, they said, listen, it was a hard message, but it was something that needed to be said, not just for the players in the room, but for everybody around here. The entire athletic department needed to hear that things were changing, things needed to change, and either you needed to change with them or you needed to leave. And obviously a number of players did go into the portal. Now, Colorado's had players go into the portal the last few years, really good players who have left for other schools. Now, I think the difference is it'll be looked at as more of a gain than a loss because of the power that Deion Sanders has to attract players. Now, he's brought in a number from Jackson State, including his son Shador, Travis Hunter, who is the star recruit back in 2022, who had flipped from Florida State to Jackson State. But I think Colorado will now get good players in the portal and not just have all its great players leave. You know, Christian Gonzalez, who will probably be the top draft pick out of the Pac-12, went to Oregon at cornerback. He started at Colorado. So these are the types of players that they had, and they weren't able to retain. With Deion Sanders, you'd think in the future, if they have the success that he's expecting, it's going to be a different story from a transfer standpoint.
You know, the last part of that really fascinating meeting that we got to watch was Coach Brime really sort of put a target right on Shador, his son, his back. Did he just make life super difficult for his own son?
I don't think so, just because Shador is used to that. He's used to having his dad be so direct with the team at Jackson State. He's used to being the starting quarterback. You know, he told me that he's not concerned moving up to the Pac-12. He believes he can play at this level. He's motivated to show everyone that he can be one of the better quarterbacks in what will be the best quarterback league going into the season in the Pac-12. You look at the players coming back. You have the Heisman Trophy winner in Caleb Williams. You have Michael Penix Jr., who led the nation in passing at Washington. He's back. Bo Nix, Cam Rising, who's won the last two Pac-12 championships, is back at Utah. So Shedeur Sanders has to prove himself at this level. And when I spoke to him, he was very excited about that opportunity. So I think when you're Deion Sanders' son and you play college football, you understand there's going to be a level of expectation placed on you regardless. He said, the guys that came in here with me from Jackson State, from Clemson, from Alabama, from all the programs that transferred in, they are not here to sit out. They are here to win jobs, keep jobs, and help this team obviously perform better on the field. So I don't think he looks at it as extra pressure, even though a lot of people would.
Coming up, what will happen when Coach Prime and his Buffaloes officially take the field?
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So, Adam, a lot of what you've told us so far involves celebrity influence and camera crews and social media posts. And for years, the college football establishment would have scoffed at this, right, as a path to relevancy, let alone success on the field. But this is 2023, after all. Branding and influence and social media, those are the landscape right now. So is what Coach Prime brings to Colorado the actual future of college sports?
I'm a little hesitant to say he's the future because I think there's only one Deion Sanders. I do think that a number of coaches in the future will take some things from Deion Sanders and apply them to their own programs. That's what that profession is. It's constantly copying what's working. For example, I think coaches that are resistant to the transfer portal are going to fall behind. I think coaches that are completely resistant to social media are probably going to fall behind. These are just the realities of what it takes to succeed for most programs in today's college football. Now, if you're Georgia, they're not very active in the transfer portal. They get their recruits, they develop them into first-round draft picks, they win national championships. Alabama has not been that active in the portal. But for almost every program, especially one like Colorado, this is the only way to succeed as you're trying to establish something. And so I do think there's going to be elements of what Deion Sanders does at Colorado that will show up in other ways. But I think he's one of one. I just don't think there's many people that have done what he's done as an athlete that also can translate that to having the success as a coach that he had at Jackson State, but now trying to do here at the FBS level.
Deion has been successful in pretty much everything he's done his entire life. But in terms of immediate success, what do you think things look like for Colorado right out of the gate? And man, what happens if they do get off to a slow start?
Most likely, they're not going to succeed right away. He has a different view on that. He believes they will, and you have to if you're in that position. But it will be interesting to see, especially during the month of September. They open against TCU, which played for a national championship last year. They have Nebraska, their in-state rival Colorado State, and then they have USC and Oregon. That could be a really tough month, you know, to start Deion's tenure. So what happens at that point? Alex Russo is the chief of staff for Colorado Athletics, told me, you know, when you go 1-11, what is there to lose by trying something different? He told me we had to be the one that took that chance because we were in a place where we just didn't need the next coach to try to rebuild it. We needed somebody who could look beyond just putting this player here and maybe trying this scheme here to get it better. It was more of a holistic overhaul of everything that we're doing with that program and in some cases with the athletic department to try to get this thing on a much better path. And so they don't see much downside to this. But I just look at how far they had fallen for a proud program with a proud fan base and how quickly he has won over people. You walk down Pearl Street Mall, which is the main drag in Boulder, and all these merchandise stores aren't advertising Colorado merchandise. It's Coach Prime merchandise. He is going to restaurants and doing reviews on Instagram. I went to a breakfast place near my hotel that he had reviewed, gave it a great review and said, hey, the only problem is they don't have grits here. And I looked at the side orders and for $3.95, you can buy Prime grits at the Village Coffee Shop because of Deion Sanders. It's not just taking it from 1-11 to whatever is realistic next year, which I think is probably 6 or 7 wins. He probably thinks it's more than that. But it's also impacting a community that had lost touch with the program and the excitement around Colorado football. And that, at least for right now, is back.
While I, for one, love all the stuff he's doing, I do look back at Deion's time at Jackson State, and I can't help but still be a lot skeptical, actually. His teams won the SWAC twice. They played in the Celebration Bowl twice. And they lost both times. The other factor is, you know, the SWAC winner traditionally goes to the Celebration Bowl, which means they opt out of the FCS playoffs. And again, I hate to be the one to bring this up. Not really, though. But that means that Deion and his teams were able to avoid being tested by the best possible competition. Does it feel like to you that Coach Prime is about to get exposed?
We're going to find out just how good of a coach Deion Sanders is when he's going against teams that are more established, coaches that are more established at this level, and how long that takes to really generate success. And what, you know, one thing I think that's important to note is that he's put together a pretty impressive coaching staff, which includes a couple of guys with head coaching experience. Kent State's head coach, Sean Lewis, left. He was not fired. He left to become offensive coordinator. Tim Brewster, who was with Deion at Jackson State, is the former Minnesota head coach. He's back at Colorado where he has some roots. There's some real experience on that staff that should be able to help a head coach that, you know, obviously knows the game well, played it at the highest level you can play, but has not been in those tense situations when you're looking across the sideline from Lincoln Riley or one of the other coaches in the Pac-12, Kyle Whittingham. Are you going to do what it takes to strategically beat that guy? Are they going to go 1-11 again? I'd be stunned. Are they going to go 11-1? I'd also be even more stunned. I think it's going to be somewhere in between, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But the talent level that Deion has brought in massively more talent at some of the key positions in Colorado has had in a long time.
You know, at the heart of all that is something that you captured that I thought was really insightful with Deion Sanders, the way he thinks and what's really important to him, even if they go 0-5, is this need to be needed. Tell me how that has become sort of a philosophy of Deion Sanders.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about because he's a guy that's accomplished so much in his life. But I asked him, did you think you'd end up at a program like Colorado? Did you think you would live in Colorado? And he said, absolutely not. I'm a guy who's from Florida, who lives in Texas, obviously lived in Atlanta, barely spent any time on the West Coast. He was with the 49ers for a year. As a 49er fan, I thanked him for that Super Bowl. So other than that, he hasn't even been in this region. He talks a lot about how beautiful it is out there. and what he can look at out his window. I mean, his window overlooks Folsom Field. For those who haven't been there, it's one of the most picturesque stadiums in college football. You see the Flatiron Mountains beyond it and the campus. He said that people took this for granted. People did not put in the work and the pride to make this great for a long time. And that's what he and his coaching staff and everybody there are trying to change. It wasn't just a need to make a team better, but a need to make a program and a town and the campus and everybody connected to Colorado feel differently than I've felt for a couple of decades now.
Adam Rittenberg, fascinating, insightful stuff that I really appreciate. And when the Buffs are 5-0 and I make it to Boulder, the prime grits will be on me.
Absolutely. I gotta save an order for me. I didn't see them until I finished my breakfast. So that was the only regret of my trip to Boulder. So next time, let's do it together and we'll sell out the restaurant, I'm sure, in the process.
I will save you a seat. Thanks again, Adam. I'm David Fleming, in for Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to everybody tomorrow.